There's a child waiting on every block. I hear you. A child waiting on every block. I hear you. Cincinnati youth has a voice. I hear you. You do have a choice. I hear you. Just walk the talk. I hear you. Hold your head up to the sky. I hear you. Tell your haters bye bye. I hear you. Give them something to talk about. I hear you. There's a child waiting on every block. I hear you. A child waiting on every block. I hear you. Everybody has a choice to make. I hear you. It's a lot of give and take. I hear you. Can't live like this. Life being fake. I hear you. Come on, everybody. Let's walk the talk. I hear you. There's a child waiting on every block. I hear you. A child waiting on every block. I hear you. A child waiting on every block. I hear you. Cincinnati youth has a voice. I hear you.
All right, everybody. How you doing? It's Sonovia Binden, founder of ANSU Productions, The Child Is Waiting, and your host for I Ain't You, I Hear You, Cincinnati. Welcome, welcome to 40. I mean, you know, welcome, welcome, y'all, because what I'm talking about is this heat up here. I'm also confused, honey. 100 degrees. Ooh, I hope everybody's out there being mindful and understanding that you need to protect yourself. I just saw an ambulance taking a lady in because she probably had heat exhaustion. So take care, y'all, because the devil is busy and he's on fire. And he's right here in Cincinnati. You know what I said every time when I talk about Miss Teal. What's happening elsewhere, you should be concerned what's happening everywhere. Because climate change is for real. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to this special segment in honor of Mr. Bill Bluesnakes and Banjo. Yes, in the house. We have Cancer Awareness Sounds of Emotion. I have Miss Jacqueline Evans in the house, and I have Miss Kenita Alexander, and they're going to tell you what's up, because we got some information for you about this thing called cancer. You know, everybody's got emotions, and they go through some things that we need to understand what it is, all right, and know there are feelings there, there are emotions, and we need to be definitely concerned for ourselves as well as others, and about that Medicare, if you got it, if you don't, if you got anything, don't be worried, don't be discouraged, because the God's got you, trust me. All right, before I get started, let me read that disclaimer. WAIF, as a community radio station, serves only to open its airways to responsible, divergent points of view. The opinions expressed during this program do not reflect the views of WAIF, its staff, or board of trustees, and the opinions reflect my own views or the views of my guests. So I want to thank you again for listening to WAIF Cincinnati. Yeah, yo. We're going to be right back, y'all. So stay tuned.
Hello, listener. Are you a Kroger shopper? You can help keep WAIF on the air and bringing you the programs you love simply by buying groceries with your Kroger Plus card. All you need to do is designate us by our official name, The Real Stepchild Radio of Cincinnati 1, as your charity of choice under the Kroger Community Rewards Program. Whenever you shop, Kroger will send WAIF a donation. You are not charged for the donation, and it does not impact your gas points. If you need assistance, your Kroger customer service desk can help. WAIF thanks Kroger for including us in their community rewards program. WAIF thanks you for supporting radio as it is meant to be, WAIF 88.3.
All right, everybody. You know, we was talking about Kroger's now. You go shopping every day or every other day or when you can. But support, 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 because that's what we do in the community. So while you shopping and buying and picking out what's not expensive and what is, you can also sponsor and help us here at WAIF. We've been here for, what, so long, since 1975, right? Uh-huh. And what is it? 2023. You know, we didn't get here just on our own. It's by the grace of God. And we got so many programmers here, Lord. You know, I'm not going to do that. Say all of them. I need you to go to www.waifradio.org and pick out who you want to listen to. But right now, I hope you're listening to us, because we got some stuff for you. This special segment, right, of Cancer Awareness, Sounds of Emotion. All right, Mr. Bill, thank you so much for coming out. I appreciate you.
Sonovia, you know, I've been following your show for the better part of 9 years now. Have you been on for 9 years?
Yeah.
Like that? And this is a dream come true for me. It is, I think you're the best show. We say it all the time because you're providing real world education for people.
Well,
and you tell it like it is, as you like to say, keeping it 100. And, you know, whether it's politics, whether it's the community, whether it's health, whatever it is. And so when I went on this health journey this past year, the first thing I thought of was I would love to talk to people who listen to your show and tell them how lucky I am to have had the providers, the support, and everything after I found out that I was diagnosed with cancer. But the flip side to that is to see the anecdotal evidence of people who aren't anywhere near as lucky or as privileged as I am. And it just should not be that way in America in 2023.
All right, sir. Thank you. And it is an honor to have you on my show. You've been here for ever. Got a right up in City Beat. Boy,
oh,
man,
yeah.
Please. Okay, anyway, I have Miss Jacqueline Evans, and this queen right here, the CEO of Pink is My Power Color. All that in a bag of chips. She is just awesome. I was blessed to be in an event that she had and that was sponsored by her and her people, her staff, her family. It was awesome. I had my young ladies there, Miss Black Teen Cincinnati First Runner Up, Jazelle, and had Miss Shy Air there, Miss Black Cincinnati First Runner Up. And they were honored to be there because as a teen and a young adult, she was like, wow. Yes. This is great, and they really were honest. So I thank you for that opportunity, Miss Jacqueline.
Hi, how
are you?
I'm wonderful.
And that's in my, I'm so glad it did not, Lord, praise you. I hope everybody's okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it happened on the street, so.
Okay, but still, you know what I'm saying.
So you had to detour and take other ways.
But I
here.
Thank you so much for even attempting still to be here.
Thank you for having me again.
Oh, no problem.
Well. I had breast cancer back in 2019, and it was triple negative, which is the most aggressive breast cancer for African American women. And during that process, I was able to create this wonderful organization that I think is well needed in our communities and amongst other communities. The organization full name is Pink is My Power Color African American Women's Breast Cancer Organization. Okay. We're also known as Pimp C. We have a website right now. It's called pimpc.org, and we are on all the social medias. Well, my journey I had a reoccurrence of the triple negative diagnosis in June 24th of this year. So I am currently under treatment now again. But if I made it through the first time,
right,
with the Lord and my family and my team and everybody that's praying and taking care of me, I can make it through again this time.
All right. You got the mic. I'm sorry to hear about that re-diagnosis, but you're right. God's got you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Stay tuned for the second half.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The testimony.
Yes.
Times two.
Yeah. So it's gonna get ugly up in here. Y'all know I got the gift of gab, and the Lord's always here. So, all right, Miss Alexander, how are you?
Hello. Thank you for having me this evening.
Thank you.
I'm Kanita. I'm here. I am a registered nurse. I've been a nurse for 16 years. My background is more so medical surgical. However, the last 4 years, my specialty has been breast oncology at the Barrett Cancer Center. So this particular subject is near and dear to me, number one, because this is an area that I work in with women and men, which most people don't know. So thank you for having me during this time.
Oh, no problem. Thank you. And, you know, I didn't have you on here to talk about, you know, what you do as far as catering and all that.
Yes.
And when I was thinking of someone to be here on the special day, Ms. Jackson said, Kenita? I said, who? All right. You know, because you don't be thinking in that moment. Because of whatever the segment was then, you know. But I appreciate you to have so many hats. You know, us girls, us women, we got so many hats. A lot of times we don't know until we're asked, right? Mm-hmm. Because then people don't see it in the day-to-day. Mm-hmm. And then when they find out, they be like, what? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I say networking works and people understanding.
I get that a lot. Like, oh, you just cater. Oh, and then when I pull out my teaching hat and they see it throughout, they're like, oh, my God, I didn't know you teach, too. I didn't know. But, I mean, you just live, and you just do what you do, and, you know, if you find out, great. If you don't know, then it's okay, too.
And what you say.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. But, yes, but thank you so much for all them hats.
You're welcome.
I appreciate every hat.
Absolutely.
You wear them well under them braids. Yeah.
Under them braids.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Bill.
Well, Kenita, first of all, thank you, because the one thing I've learned during my lung cancer journey is it's great to have the doctors there. The nurses do all the work. And they're the ones who not only, you know, do the technical parts of it, whether you're in the infusion room or if you end up in the emergency room and then you end up in a private room, which if you're undergoing chemo or any kind of treatment can go south at any point. And then you're at the mercy of the nurses. And I've been blessed to have had a great person next to me each step of the way. After the second chemo treatment, I caught an infection. I went to the emergency room. I ended up in the hospital for 3 days under the care of wonderful nurses. And then I had a reaction after that I had to go to a urology clinic, and the nurses took care of that. You never want to have to say the words, I need a catheter, but sometimes it happens. And the people were wonderful. But first of all, you never want to hear the words, you have cancer.
Absolutely.
And when you do, and it really reminds me, Jacqueline, the fact that yours has reoccurred, that your attitude is wonderful, because as everybody tells you, your attitude is maybe the biggest part of going forward. There.
I just have to say, Miss Alexander just put a t-shirt up. Let me read it. Cancer picked the wrong girl.
That's
hey,
right.
With boxing gloves. I need that t-shirt. I need that. Okay.
That's exactly what you have to believe, because if you don't, you'll become so depressed and you won't have the energy to fight it. And that's what I've learned. Plus the support system. You know, I would have loved to have had Kenita as one of my nurses, but my nurses have been great. My family's been great. My friends have been great. But not everybody has that.
Right.
Yes,
and
that's true.
That's the thing that I saw, the anecdotal evidence, as I was saying earlier, is that, you know, and it's not survivor's guilt, because I'm still taking treatment. Now I'm facing a year of immunotherapy, but I've been assured by my oncologist that, you know, all the signs are good and I should recover. He actually said the word cured, which I'm not sure that oncologists say at that point, but I make it through the 5 years or whatever at the end of this, and right now everything is looking good.
That's awesome.
And that makes me feel wonderful for myself, and even worse for the people that I see along the way in the emergency rooms or the waiting rooms or the infusion centers, who, as Sanovi and I were talking before the show, may not have family support, may not even tell their family that they're sick. And I can't imagine that. So I'm interested to learn from you three, about things that I'm missing along the way. I just saw people that I thought needed a hand in you know, your website is for breast cancer. My doctor is just a lung cancer doc. I mean, there's so many ways,
right,
and so much help is needed in those ways. And so, you know, these stories will, I'm already convinced that I need to do something now that I'm feeling well after chemo.
Yes.
And I don't have to take a half a week off each time to get out there and help other people. So I'm looking forward to hearing the opportunities that you might have that people can help people who are suffering.
Yes, yes.
So can I say something?
Yes, sure, go ahead.
So with what you're saying, you know, I'm so excited for you that you've actually, you know, made it through and that you have a success story. So that's music to my ears. But in saying, you know, how a lot of families don't have people, and they don't. Mm-hmm. So I've been on every end. So I'm that nurse when you come into the clinic and you sit down, and after you've had all your tests, you come in and they say, oh, you know, you have cancer, and you're already nervous, you're scared, you don't know the thing, you feel like your life's defeated. And I'm the one that's in there like, okay, this is your journey, we're going to start this, we're going to do this together, I'm the cheer, like, mm-hmm, that person, like, from the start to the, because I don't want you to feel defeated before you even get started.
Mm-hmm.
So when I met you, and it was not, I mean, your energy is everything. Like, this thing don't even, I mean, it's up against a giant right here. So, I mean, it's just absolutely amazing to be that person to the patients, because although you feel like, you know, sometimes coming in caring for you all, it checks me. When I get up in the morning and I don't feel like doing something, or I'm tired, or if I'm having a bad day, and I just woke up and I say, Lord, let me be what I need to be to these patients. Let me give them a smile. Let me comfort them. Let me give them blankets. Let me bake.
Yes.
Let me love. And for that, you all give me the energy that I need to get through my shift. And that's fuel for me. So, you know, y'all help me just like we help you all. And I feel like a lot of nurses feel that way as well. So thank you for what you all do for us. Not because you keep us employed, but for the energy and for the tenacity, for the drive and everything that you bring every single time that you show up for that treatment. Because you don't have to. So thank you for allowing us to be a part of that journey with you all. So.
Well, I've been, again, blessed with the team that I've had. And, again, it's interesting. I was counting them out today as I came back from my urologist appointment, that with more good news that I, you know, at one point there might have been a problem, but they assured me that I don't have a prostate problem on top of a lung problem.
Mm.
But I have 11 doctors taking care of me. So if you figure I have 11 doctors taking care of me, that's got to be at least 50 other people involved. People who are giving me tests, nurses who are taking care of me, checking me in, just the people who are checking me in to the hospital when I go every 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those people. And what I've learned on my journey that also includes the second on my list is my therapist at this point, that got me to that attitude that you were talking about, Kenita, with a previous health problem, that I might not be demonstrative about it, but I really try to wake up every day feeling grateful.
Mm-hmm.
Because it could have been so much worse. It could have gone south very quickly, and everybody, you know, when I had an anxiety story, everybody had an anxiety story. When I had a cancer story, everybody might not have their own personal cancer story, but their mom, their aunt, their sister, their dad, their nurse has a cancer story. And if there's no way you're going to, as you said, beat it by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You need help.
Mm-hmm.
And don't be afraid to ask for help.
And it's okay. It's actually okay to have a day where you just angry
like
and don't feel like it.
That's what it sounds
know,
of emotion, exactly.
Members come in and they like, Mom, stop crying. I said, if you don't leave her alone, let her tears fall today. Let her feel like she want to feel today. I said, she needs to do this because this is something that she's going through. Only thing you need to do is be a support, you know, but everybody make it about them. You gotta make it about, and I just be like, just let her cry if she want to cry, let her holler if she want to holler. It might not be like that tomorrow, but today this is where she is.
Mm-hmm.
And allow her to do that.
And And you know, I have a comment, being devil advocate and speaking to some of the people that have endured a family member going through, you know, cancer or finding out they have cancer or whatever it is, breast cancer, lung cancer, whatever, mm-hmm. or possibility having it, right? And I've had a family member say, you know, well, yes, when my mom found out, she was so upset and she was crying and she was saying, I can't believe this is happening to me. And I was like, Mom, you know, they was like, I didn't like seeing her crying. I did not like seeing her in any type of distress or what am I going to do? I don't know if I got insurance. I don't even know if they cover it. I don't know. So dealing with a family member, I try to put those shoes on, because even if my mom's 85 and she has issues going on health wise and I don't like to see her cry, I don't like her to feel like, I don't want to put y'all in a bind, I don't want to stress y'all out, I used to be so independent and da da da, and I don't want to see that. Mm-hmm. And it's not so much as and it could be selfishness, I don't know, I just know I don't want to feel it. I don't want to feel that. I don't want to feel it. I know mama going through whatever, but mama didn't stop, because I'm going to break down. And yes, you know, so I understand what you're saying about the relators, but I'm trying to, you know, even though that my mom, she's just old age, but dealing with cancer and things like that, or your child being sick, emotionally, as a person on the side or a family member, it's like, man, I can't help you. I can't take it off of you. If I could, Mama, I would, you know. Or my child, Lord, my child's going through sickle cell. My child's going through. If I could take it, Lord, I put it on me. And they crying and they sulking, and I'm starting to feel guilty. I'm starting to feel, wow. Why couldn't this happen to me? Why did this happen to my mama? Why did this happen to my sister? Why did this happen to my daughter? Why did this happen? So that's the emotion, speaking for myself and maybe speaking for others. So I understand it. And I understand, you know, mama don't cry. Mama don't, you know, daddy don't cry. Don't cry. Because I don't want to feel it. I don't want to feel it, because then that's when you, as you said, a therapist. We all, the family needs to see a therapist, because it does affect you emotionally.
Yeah, it does.
Because that guilt kicks in, and you can say selfishness or whatever, because you're going through it. Yeah. And that would be my, you're not the one.
Right.
Unlike
right.
anything,
exactly.
Like losing your house or being homeless, you're not the one. Right? So you could never, you know, somebody, I know just how you feel. That's why I never say it, because I. No, but if I can relate, yeah, it was a time when I, but you're going through it right now. And a lot of times it's about what's going on with me right now.
Right.
I'm feeling this. You okay? You got a house. You got a car. Your health is good, that as far as you know. Mm-hmm. But I just found out something that I don't know if I'm going to be here tomorrow. You know,
well, when it comes to family members, it's like they see me go through the first time, mm-hmm. so they expect me to go through the same
exactly.
way this time.
Exactly.
Which I pretty much am, because I don't have any, I've been blessed just as you have been blessed, that I don't have the side effects of chemotherapy. Because, like, before I go in, I'm praying, Lord, do not allow any side effects mm-hmm. from any chemotherapy that I'm getting right. or any supplements I'm taking. Please don't allow them to come upon me. And so it, when my family see me going through the, like I said, the first time, they like, okay, she's superwoman now,
right?
You know, I can still carry on the way that I carried on before, but sometimes my body said, hey, you need to slow down, because I'm doing pink, I'm taking care of my mom who has dementia.
Yeah.
My husband just had major back surgery a couple months ago.
Oh,
so, you know, and now I have my granddaughter, so it's all falling on me. So that's where pink comes in, with a twist for respite. The respite is not only for the caregivers, mm-hmm. it's for the patient, it's for the clients, because we wear so many hats when we are diagnosed with a disease.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of us as women, we cannot just drop our hats. we have to continue doing the things that we have to do in order to get things done. And so with Pink is My Power Color, one of our programs is respite. So we're setting it up where the mom that has children can put their kid, we have a daycare provider, the daycare provider can take care of them while we'll put them in a hotel or refer them to Karen Wellington, and they'll give them a gift, a gifting of a vacation or whatever it needs to get them some solitude, some peace of mind during this time. Mm. So I just had a conversation maybe a month ago with, he's like my nephew. He's about 6 years old and he has cancer. So when he's had it for a while and he went through treatment. And so when I found out that I was diagnosed again, I told him. And he said, really? And so a couple weeks ago, he saw me with my bald head. And he saw my tattoo on my head. And he said, I want one of them. And I said, you aren't going through this by yourself. I'm going through this too. Mm-hmm. So that made him feel good,
right,
to know, even as somebody a little else. Kid, I'm not by myself. There's even adults that's going through what I'm going through.
Right.
So, yeah, that's my take on the family issue.
And the thing, like you said, you know, you're not going by yourself. It's that's why I say, you know, people share your stories, let people know what's going on, because somebody out
needs
there
to hear it.
Needs to hear it. Mm-hmm. It may not be someone that's just right there to say, oh, I want to. You never know when you're speaking.
Yeah.
You never know when you're at a event, mm-hmm. and somebody say, you want to say something, or you say something, and there's one. Because I also, you know, a former board member of American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, mm-hmm. and Anti-Bullying. So when I'm speaking that, I'm covering, you know, yes, and there's people. So because you never know.
Yeah, you never know.
You never know who's out there. It may be just one, mm-hmm. but somebody's there. God's got all of y'all together, mm-hmm. and you. Having a you have a purpose, mm-hmm. wherever you at,
yeah.
and you know I'm good at giving. I had a mic, man. I'm there for a reason, for something. I'm sure, but that's great, you know, for you to say you're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
First, start yeah. out. First of all, you're not alone. Mm-hmm. I can't relate. No, I'm not going through it. But you are never, yeah. if not
you're
just with
alone.
The grace of
yeah.
God, you are not mm-hmm. alone. And this tattoo, what's the tattoo? Cause. What's it say?
It's just flowers.
Flowers and things. Because you know people out there going like, tattoo? What the tattoo
yeah.
say?
Pimp C.
Oh, okay. She got, okay, Pimp C on it.
That's her
okay.
organization.
Her organization on the back.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. So, you know, I had to put that out there. But anybody have anything to say, they can call it 513-891-8900. 513-891-8900. Not 8900, in case you want to make a comment. But I'm quite sure everybody's sitting back like, dang. But yeah. Yeah, this is the informative channel. I hear you, because that is what we're about. And Mr. Bill, I think he was getting ready to say something.
I am. Like you were saying earlier, is all of these things, but whether it's your mother, whether it's in your case, Jacqueline, you share it with your family. There are people that Synovia surprised me with that would not share it with their family.
Oh, yeah,
that they don't want to be a burden to, if their children or spouse or somebody is overwhelmed,
right. mm-hmm.
and they think they can't deal with this on top of that. This brings me back to me that I don't work. My wife still works. My daughter works. I had time to go to the doctor mm-hmm. and all of that, but they had to. Their lives didn't stop because I got sick,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so if it's somebody who's worried about their family or their friends, you know, trying to juggle one more major right. issue in their life, maybe they just won't talk about it or something like that. And I don't think that's the right way to do it. But I understand why they might not want to do it.
Mm-hmm. And on that flip side, I have had people that have gone through cancer, but they will not state their, and they're out of it, and they will not, they don't want anybody to know, because I guess it's a shame that they're feeling. But my, this is my take on it. You have to tell somebody, because it could save their life. It could help them from day to day. Pink Is My Power Color was put together as a sisterhood, a sistership. So I walk with each of my clients. When they are diagnosed and they put in that call, or now you can go online and sign up for the program, I walk with them. Just as I'm walking with myself, I walk with them. So you're never alone. I've had women, breast cancer survivors, call me, and they go through a lot. We women, and I'm sure men, go through a lot of mental
emotions,
everything is balled up. And then when you have children and you're a single mother, you have a lot. So, you know, we're putting together support groups and to deal with the issues of, okay, what do I do next? Or how do I deal with, they just told me I have stage four, you know, breast cancer. Well, I have stage four. They also said there was a couple spots in my lung and on my liver and on my bone. But I do not, when I went to the cancer advisors, the nurse practitioner said, looking at you and your energy, it doesn't look like anything is wrong with you. And I told her, I said, I think my lungs is strong because I blow the shofar at church. And she said, well, keep doing what you're doing.
You know, and it's interesting that you said, kind of, if someone who is, quote, cured, although nobody's really cured, because you don't know if it's the particular original tumor, lump, whatever it is coming back, or if you just got it again.
Yeah.
The one thing you learn about cancer, there are just so many ways that you can get it, even for no reason. It's just part of life. But I think there's almost a survivor's guilt there, that they don't want to be the one that says, you know, I'm okay, I'm sorry you're not. That's a really hard thing to say to somebody.
Right.
And that's kind of the reason that I wanted to be on today. Not because I'm suffering from survivor's guilt, but I'm suffering from, again, back to that word of privilege. There was this one person at the infusion center at Good Sam, which is where I go. He was in a wheelchair. He was on oxygen. He had a drip in his port. And he couldn't have been 30 or 40 years old. And he had two little kids who were with him. And he stopped and he put them in his lap to do that. I mean, I cannot imagine what, you know, he barely had the strength to be in the wheelchair, to be wheeled in there by his wife, but he's still thinking about his kids at that point, too. And so, you know, Kenita, you've seen every kind of story every day that you go to work.
I was going to say for you, and you were saying how it's challenging, but for men per se, when you think about the emotional piece of it and finances, most men are the breadwinners of the home. They're the head of the home, and when they get these diagnoses and then they have to be off of work, they don't, you know, they don't know how the ends are going to meet. So a lot of emotions come with that, even though you had insurance, you know, just showing up and maybe doing extra hours, but now you can, or you got to be out, you can only do 2 days a week versus your five that you do, but your mortgage is due, your daughter, she got tuition due, you know, and all these things. And for men, I find that they a lot of times get depressed, or, you know, and I like I said, men more so, because you are the head, you be the head of your household, and you are the provider. So when you're not able to put out full force, even, you know, if you're married and with your wife, not being able to do the things even if it's as simple as enjoying dinner or walking along the river, or because you're too tired,
right,
and you can't taste food, and you can't, so it's a lot of things that you can't, and just having those people in your space that can understand, there's more than just only cancer happening. There's a lot of emotion as person as a whole, physically, mentally, mm-hmm, and emotionally, that people miss. They just only hear the one word and don't really understand what all comes with that. So, but I, like I said, I find more men have a hard time with adjusting with diagnosis because of their role in the home.
Well, I'll go back to the way I started this was when I got the therapist for my previous problem. If I had not spent some time with her before I got, you have cancer, I would have sat in the living room and shook my fist at God and said, why me, Lord? What did I do to deserve this? Even though I smoked for 30 years and my mother died of cancer and, you know, whatever it might be, that there were 1,000 reasons why I had it. You want to look at why it's unfair to you. But if you have gone through talking to somebody about it, and we didn't even talk about cancer, but it was just an adjustment of my thinking about my life. Mm-hmm. And that I'm lucky enough not to have to be the breadwinner, but I worked for, you know, more than 50 years to put myself in that position, to put myself in the position of having wonderful insurance, mm-hmm, and all of that. But it's, you know, each one of these things is a mountain for a family or a person to climb themselves. Mm-hmm. And so the more help that you can get, and if you're afraid to talk to your family, talk to Jacqueline's support system. Mm-hmm. Talk to Sonovia's support system. Mm-hmm. Talk to the people at each of the hospitals around here, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, whether it's UC or TriHealth, mm-hmm, or Christ, or mm-hmm, whoever it might be. That's what they're there for. Now, you know, can you afford to do that? I don't know. That was what I came in here wondering about. And Kaneda, you may know more about this than anything else. I told Sonovia that last week when I was in the infusion center, there was somebody from the administration talking to this young guy across from me in the chair, and she was asking him about, have you heard back from your Social Security? Mm-hmm. Have you heard back from your disability? Mm-hmm. Have you, you know, does that person need to be reminded, not only is he really sick, but how is he going to pay for it?
Woo. That was a mouthful, wasn't it?
So, that's tricky. It's tricky because I think the compassionate part of us wants to say that nobody has to pay anything. Mm-hmm. But for a business to run effectively, you have to be paid. And, you know, chemotherapy, it costs a lot because you're not only just paying for that medication, you're paying for the staff to give you the medication, you're paying for the equipment that you use to get. So there's a lot of different steps. And unfortunately, you have to be paid. And it's so sad to see, you know, when you do have patients that come in and don't have insurance and they're pulling out of their retirements and... Mm-hmm. Other things, selling houses to pay for this treatment that they hope will work, mm-hmm, and it may not. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's, you know, you're taking a chance. You want to live. So I don't think it's a lack of compassion, and it's not a matter of, you know, do they need to be reminded? They don't need to be reminded, but the bill has to be paid.
And I'm not pointing the finger at you.
I'm
pointing the finger at the country. The country. Mm-hmm. That we're the only civilized nation in the world, mm-hmm, where people have to dig into their pocket, and one diagnosis, mm-hmm, can wipe away everything
out
they've worked for their entire, mm-hmm, life. Mm-hmm. It just shouldn't be that way.
Yeah. I can attest to what the conversation is going, because I had Medicare and Medicaid was paying part of my through the first diagnosis. Well, this second diagnosis, As you, a lot of people may be aware that if you make so much money, you can't get the extra help that you were getting. Mm-hmm. And so I got put off of Medicaid. So that was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? Is Medicare going to take care of all of it? So I called. And I believe that everything that I go through is for me and this organization, so I'll be able to refer the my clients to the right organization or the right people. But I called the hospital, and I talked to the hospital social financial lady, and she said, and I go through my oncologist is OHC. And so she said, well, what you have to do is contact your financial office at OHC and see what they can do. So I contacted the financial lady, and she gave me a gentleman name, and he was phenomenal. He knew all about Medicare and how to get supplements and how not to, the supplements that was right for your case. And so I was able to get the supplement through United Healthcare that they pay. I may have a copay of $25 when I go to a chemo, but that's it, and if I get any medicines over the counter, they're like maybe $1 or something. So, and then on top of that, the financial lady, when she's out on leave, it was another lady who's a part of the finance part. This is how God works, though. Mm. She calls me and she said, well, Pam is going to be out for a while, and I'm going to be here in her place. She said, well, I'm going to do is I'm going to search for some grants for you, some scholarships. Right. We're going to see. She said, there hasn't been any breast cancer scholarships or anything lately, because they all been exalted. So she said, she called me up, and she said, guess what? I said, what? She said, I found one. We got to apply right away. She said, send your application in and see what they say. And so she sent it in, and they wanted additional information. They wanted my income. Well, I'm on Social Security. My husband on Social Security, because he had a back surgery, so he's not working or anything.
Right.
So we sent them our documents. And I got a call on the 14th. They needed some additional information. I gave them the information. So I called today because I'm looking at the voice message like, oh, man, I forgot to call these people. And she's like, well, I don't know why you called her because you've been approved.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And so the financial lady says, all your chemo, everything for the whole next year will be paid for.
That's awesome.
So I'm like,
and won't he do it?
God has been there, but we have to know where to go, who to go to. Mm-hmm. And if don't nobody open their mouth to tell, then you have people out here suffering without knowing where to go, without the resources.
So that stress that was taken off of your back will help you recover through this.
Yes.
Because then you don't have to worry about that one extra thing. Mm-hmm. You have plenty to worry about, but you don't have to worry about one of the biggest ones.
Yes.
And that will make you stronger going forward.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yes.
With that thought, I'll tell you. All right, everybody, I'm getting ready to come, up closer to my hour, and Blue Snakes and Banjos at the top of the hour, so Mr. Bill
stay
needs to
tuned,
get over
everybody
there. But I would like some final thoughts from you, Mr. Bill, as well as Miss Jacqueline, as well as Miss Kanika. I'm honored and privileged to have you here today to help my associate, my pal, my peer, and special one through the sounds of emotion that he has experienced as well as others. I appreciate you. And I appreciate you for the grace of God. Yes, I do, Lord. Thank you for my friend continuing to be here as well as my friends from continue to be here. So final thoughts, Mr. Bill?
Well, the final thought is that the more you talk about this, and again, this is one of the reasons we love you, Synovia, is that your forum for people, again, no matter the topic, it gives people the opportunity to talk through these things and to learn things that they didn't know, to learn about Pimp C, to learn about what cancer looks like from the provider side, from the nurse's side, who lives with it every day. And God bless you, Kenita, for doing that and being able to come to work every day. I have people in that, you know, I mean, it's tough enough for me to go in there once every 3 weeks and come out of there feeling okay. I mean, there's, you know, there's certainly great stories and people who have survived and thrived for this. But until everybody has the same chance to survive, whether it be grants, whether it be, you know, government funding, whether it be whatever, you know, then there's still work to be done at that point. And so while I'm celebrating personally and my friends and family are celebrating and they're thrilled that I'm doing well, there's still that little bit of not shame, but of guilt that when I was saying, why me, God, when I got cancer, it's almost like, why me, God, did I survive when people who might be more deserving will not? And so until all of those people have, you know, and you can't guarantee it, but as long as they have the same chance, I think that's all anybody's asking for, is that everybody, not because they don't have enough money or they don't have a job or they don't have whatever reason, they still, that doesn't mean they should be given a death sentence right out of the box.
Jack,
I need to just encourage everyone that is dealing with the diagnosis and let you know that you can get through it. One of the ways, as Mr. Bill said, is you have to have a positive mindset. You have to have positive people around you. Even when the doctors don't believe, you got to make sure that they, because I cut my doctors off. You got to make sure that they are where you at in your walk, in your journey. And so just recently, Mr. Bill, when the second diagnosis came, my doctor came in with his head down. And I'm like, hey, we ain't coming in like that. I said, my faith is over my head. That's where I need you to meet me. And so the next, I had to scold him twice. And the next time he came in positive. Like, you know, I'm like, see, that's what I'm... that's what we need. Right. So whenever I go into the clinic for chemo, I am sitting there and I'm praying for everyone to receive and don't have the side effects that they do. You know, because there's a lot of people that have had hard time with chemotherapy. And I'm just grateful that I didn't have that. And I still don't have that with everything that they say is going on with me.
All right.
So be encouraged.
And your website?
Website is pimpc.org.
All right. And Ms. Kanika?
Final thoughts. Again, thank you for having me. Thank you for final thoughts. Thank you for having me on the on this segment. My thing is, just as far as like in my nursing role, that's what I'm doing, my nurse hat is on today.
But in this role, you know, nursing is definitely one of my passions. I feel like my role, you know, in healthcare is to be an advocate for patients and family, and to just show up and be what it is that they need for me to be for them that day. And that's what I do. I feel like anyone can't be a nurse. Nurses are just not born. You have to have a gift of nursing, a gift of healing, a gift of compassion, a gift of grace. All those things have to come together to be able to actually put out what needs to be put out for the patient and families. And I uphold that very, very high. I take my role as a nurse in the community very serious. When I teach my students, I also teach over at Cincinnati State, it's very important to, you know, don't just be in this field for money. Money is good, but it's not everything. You have to have the compassion that's needed in this field and to go forth. So again, thank you. And I'm praying for everybody that everything works out and that every need that needs to be met is met for you all.
I'm going to take my leave and go get ready for Blue Snakes and Banjos with Bob Hust at the top of the hour. But I just want to say thank you, Synovia, first of all, so much for having me on. And to Kenita and Jacqueline, thank you both for what you're doing, you personally and with your organization, and you on an everyday basis. I'm proud to be of the cancer family. I don't know if that's, I mean, I think that's a thing. At this point, it is. And until you have had, you might know, you know, your relative's story or your friend's story, but until someone looks at you and says you have cancer, you don't really know what it's like at that point. And again, I'm certainly one of the lucky ones at this point, and I hope that I remain one of the lucky ones for as long as I live. But I'm proud to be a person who has had cancer.
And don't let this be the end of your voice, because people need to hear it. Because even, I don't know how I've gotten sucked into all this cancer stuff. I mean, I've done so much here within the last few weeks. Just last week, I was doing a cooking class for the Cancer Foundation. And I mean, and then just your Pimp C, and then now I'm here, and then other places. It's just like, oh my God, like, okay, God, what are you doing? So I'm here.
That's great.
Use me as you may. So, yes.
All right, everybody. Thank you. Thank you for listening to this special segment for Mr. Bill. Up next in Blue Snakes and Banjo. Yeah, at the top of the hour. But everybody, thank you so much for listening. If you listen to the special segment of Cancer Awareness, The Sound of Emotion, I appreciate Miss Jacqueline coming out. And I appreciate Miss Kanika. And I appreciate Bill. And I appreciate the Lord for giving us this moment. Because you know what? We're here. This is the community. We're here to serve the community. WAIF 88.3 FM. I hear you, Cincinnati. It's Synovia. And I'll see you next time on the Flip Channel, Flip Side, next week. Keep safe, keep healthy, keep nourished, keep fluids, all that. All right. Until next time, remember, never would have made it without him. Until next time, bye bye.
Somebody just need to testify to something next to them. Tell them, I'm strong. I'm wise. I'm better. Much better. When I look back over what he brought me through, I realize I made it because I had you to hold on to. Now I'm stronger. Now I'm wiser. I'm better. So much better. I made it. Is there anybody in this house other than me that could declare you made it? Tell your neighbor, never would have made it.
Never would have made it.
Tell them, never could have made it.
Never could have made it without you.
Oh, I wish I had some help here. I wish I had just two or three people that would just declare it. Never would have made it.
Never would have made it.
Never could have made it.
Never could have made it.
I just love to encourage myself. Sometimes I just look in the mirror and say, I'm strong. I'm wise. I am better. So much better. When I look back over what he brought me through, I realize I made it because I had you to hold on to. But I never would have made it. I never could have made it without you. Yeah, 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 Lord. Oh, good God Almighty, never would have made it.
Never would have made it.
Never could have made it. Sing it one more time. All I need is just one more time. Never would have made.